The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM The Talker. I am here with my co-host, husband, fellow realtor, drone pilot.
Oh, baby, that's me.
Pat Devaney, how are you?
Very good, Jackie. How are you today?
Great, thanks. We have with us a special guest. He's no stranger to our program. We've had him before, Bob Mendola from Mendola & Associates Professional Surveyors. How are you?
Good morning, Jackie and Pat.
Thank you for being here with us.
And I thank you as well.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where various real estate topics are discussed and covered. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions at jruddy.com. That's questions at jruddy.com. And while you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab. You can see what's going on at Dunmore Corners. It's not quite a drone view, but it's a nice view of the corners. And you can see if they're doing any construction, because hopefully we're done with the snow. But you never know around here.
You know, right. Ugh. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Bob Mendola, owner of Mendola & Associates Professional Surveyors. Tell me, how long have you been professionally surveying property, please?
I have been doing this since 1977, so I do the math, you're looking at over 40 years.
Nice. Okay. And it is a family-involved business. You have...
It is. Thank God. I have my lovely wife, Mary. She's our CEO.
Mm-hmm.
A woman-based company, as well as doing all the rest of the surveying and engineering throughout the area. I have my daughter, Betsy, and our four boys, some part-time and some full-time, and... It's just a nice feeling to have family working with you, and it's been a success for all of us, so thank God for that.
Well, your name is very popular and well-known in the Dunmore area, Lackawanna County, but in recent years, you have expanded to other states, and you do work outside of our area as well.
We have been fortunate in that respect. Thanks for mentioning that. I have my one boy, Tom. He's a professional engineer in three states. And New Jersey, New York, and, of course, Pennsylvania. And my other four boys, my other son, Matt, he's the guy that's full-time with us. And he's a professional land surveyor license in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York as well. So I think we've been very blessed to have a tri-state base to work from.
Great. And... That is a blessing. So today, for today's purposes, I thought you are a professional land surveyor. We could sit here and we could talk for weeks about all the different types of land surveys that you provide as a professional. But today, I'd like to focus on floodplain surveys. And the reason why is last week we had a guest in and we talked about flood insurance and flood-prone areas and the costs of flood insurance. But from your perspective and what you do, you're a professional surveyor. So I'd like to talk to you about the technical aspects, the requirements, and what constitutes flood analysis, please.
Very good question, Jackie. First of all, I'll start off by saying that people call us, first of all, for floodplain surveys, because the lending institution that's loaning them the money for their house or structure, whatever their use, whether it's business or residential, and if they're in areas that are susceptible to flooding, that's based on what the proximity of that property close to a river or a large lake. and in some, a lot of cases, even small streams. And today's age, of course, with computerization, all of these mortgage companies, banks, and lending institutions have programs that will, you can put the address in, and it will tell you if it's in a flood area. That being said, if it is, of course, then that institution's going to say, you may need flood insurance if you're in the floodplain. So we'd like to see a floodplain certificate done by a surveyor to substantiate that it isn't a floodplain. Based on that, if they are in the floodplain, then they're going to have to pay flood insurance, which, of course, a lot of people, they pay enough of other costs, let alone have to pay for that. But and if they're not, and in some cases we can prove that, then they don't have to have flood insurance.
Okay, so you come in to determine whether it is, in fact, a bona fide floodplain.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, on the flood zone maps, which we have, there are different types of zones.
That's correct.
Like, they're letters, usually. Right.
A zone, A1 through, I think, A7, B zones, C zones. And now, in the last maybe 10 years, because of them... the federal government and both FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers have put in flood protection areas, you know, like dikes, levees, and things of that nature to try to improve the flood elevation so that people will be out of the floodplain. It's coming to light, but there's still a long way to go. And they designate those as new AA zones, if I'm correct on that. So that's how it's designated. You're right.
Well, in our Scranton area, there were several of those projects.
That's correct.
And that was the big pitch. That's right. This is going to remove the flood zone. You will no longer be in a flood zone. Did that happen?
Well, that's another good question because it was supposed to happen.
Right.
It was supposed to happen. And without getting into a lot of verbiage than we need.
Okay.
Because we have some other things to cover. Those particular areas were not, let's say, done to the height elevation necessary to get those properties out of the floodplain. Not every area, but some areas, the things were not built to the design standard that would protect them completely. So
the answer is no.
So those big floodgates that they have down in Scranton, those big floodgates that they have in Oliphant, you mean that the government might have wasted our money? Is that possible? Because I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, oh boy. Well, I don't want to.
I don't want to beat anybody up unless I can beat up.
But you have a point. And I think everyone, government people, banking people, anybody in, of course, real estate, surveying, engineering, we're all trying to resolve it in the best way we could with what we have. And it's working to some extent.
Okay. So let's get back to the floodplain survey. So we need to determine, and you're right, you mentioned a very important part of all of this. When someone's going to purchase a house, and they've have an accepted agreement of sale, they're looking to buy a house, they're looking at the mortgage, it will be principal and interest every month, utility costs, taxes, property insurance. The last thing that they need is an added expense on top of everything is flood insurance. So here you come on site, you're here to determine whether they truly need flood insurance. Please take me through what you do and how you do it.
I'd be happy to, Jackie. When people are notified in the sale of the property and they're going to purchase whatever, and let's say they are told they're in a floodplain area, well, they have to go out, these people have to hire a surveyor like myself to substantiate and prove that the elevations of that area, based on the 100 years flood storm elevation, we call that base flood elevation, and that's the elevation that the most severe storm that you will get in 100 years hits, that will bring up the levels of your flooding to the greatest flooding height. So what we do as a surveying group, Corps, is we go out, me and my sons, but we have GPS equipment today, thank God. It's a global position systems where we use the satellites for control now. Very, very useful tool. Very, very great method to especially apply with flood plane elevations. So what we do is determine the base flood elevation for that particular site with our satellites. And when we come up with that value of what that elevation height is, now we do a comparison of that value to the first floor of the property, the basement floor elevation, and all of the elevations on the four corners of the house. You have to show the highest and lowest elevation on the outside perimeter of the house. All that data is taken, and we put this on a floodplain certificate. And that's what the institutions want to see to verify whether you're in or out of the floodplain.
So this determines if it's at risk.
That's correct.
And so the certificate goes to the lender. It's required as part of the loan documents.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we have experience with that down in Breezy Point. My dad had a house in Breezy Point. It's a coastal community.
Mm-hmm.
And Hurricane Sandy came through. And there was 2 feet of water because it was 11 foot above high tide.
Okay.
It was the 100-year storm that you're talking about.
That's right.
So all the houses that were lost when they're rebuilding them, they're all actually on stilts. They're about
That's correct.
4 foot
that's right.
above where the high water mark was. So I don't know. What's the difference between the high water mark and where a house is going to be?
Very good point. And that's why when you, like you say, when you drive down in these coastal areas and these beach areas, you see the house is built up like on stilts.
It is.
And that's to get them out of that 100-year flood level.
We don't have, well, it's not a coastal area here, but we have plenty of lakes.
Oh, you got lots of flooding up here.
Well, and we have lots of flooding, and we have rivers and streams, and we have bodies of water, obviously, but, you know, it doesn't matter. You're still in an area where you can flood.
You got to know if you have it. The flood insurance is very expensive. I mean, it like you were just talking about, it's an added on top of everything else because your homeowner's insurance does not cover damage from a flood.
That's correct.
Okay.
And if you can get me out of paying the flood insurance, I appreciate it.
With us today is Bob Mendola, Mendola and Associates Professional Surveyors. We're talking about floodplain surveys, which Bob and his office provides for many people. In the instance where the lender may think that there is a floodplain and there's a mortgage that requires flood insurance.
That's correct, Jackie.
Bob, FEMA determines if a property is in a floodplain, but how does it all work? How do you work with them as an agency?
Okay, FEMA is the agency that governs all areas across the United States for flooding. And it's the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which, of course, abbreviated FEMA, F-E-M-A. They are the ones that control all of the information, all of the given data that's been set out by the government since the inception of floodplains. And they will give us, they have what we call FIRMs, F-I-R-M, which are Federal Insurance Rate Maps, for each area that is studied for flooding. And that will give us the base flood elevation as a technician to use that information to see if that particular area is in or out of that flood elevation level. So these are the things that we have to work through and with. And if we do find that there is a lucky chance that the people are out of the floodplain, then we go to another step with the government to fill out paperwork called a LOMA, which is a letter of map amendment, which will take our data and send a letter back saying that they're on the floodplain.
Who calls you usually? Is it the lender? Is it the bank, financial institution? Is it the buyer? Is it the seller? Who usually is your customer?
Usually, it could be all the above, but usually it's the person that's directed to go and get and prove that they either have to pay flood insurance or not, whether they're in the floodplain or not. So a lending institution or other organization may tell these people, you know, you may have to pay flood insurance. It would behoove you to go out and get a floodplain certificate done by a surveyor to prove whether you're in or out of it and whether you have to pay or not.
Okay, so you bring up an excellent point because you use sophisticated technology and tools. That's an expense you carry to provide your professional service. I'm sure that this is somewhat of an expense for somebody to prove whether they're in a floodplain or not. So generally, what is the cost?
Well, a floodplain insurance, the actual certificate.
No, for you.
For your service. To charge somebody else, I would say there would be a range in price for floodplains of a typical nature, a regular residential area.
Right.
You're looking at anywhere between, let's say, $700 to $800.
Okay.
It sounds fair. It's fair in the sense that that's what we would try to do a property survey for. So we try to give it an equivalency of a property survey because you're going out and you're doing all this work and you're gathering all this data.
Right.
Much like doing the boundary survey.
But it's not thousands.
No. We're fair with that cost because we have the technology. The GPS satellite gives us a great turnaround with information and the usage of it for the elevations that we do in that area.
Okay. Very good. We're headed towards a break. Bob Mendola from Mendola & Associates Professional Surveyors. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
They can call. The phone number is 570-346-8249. Or they can go on the internet, Google, or just look for land surveyors on the internet, and we come up either one, two, or three on the listing. They could go to our website, which is MendolaSurveys.com, to see who we are and what we do and what kind of work have we done over the last 40 years. And then our email address, last but not least, is Matt, that's my son Matt, at MendolaSurveys.com. Mendola, my last name, no space, the word surveys, plural. So it's Matt at MendolaSurveys.com.
Thank you, Bob. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes. We have a beautiful 5-bedroom, 3-bath home on 3/4 acre at 20 Sunset Drive in Scott Township for $229,000. This home is only 5 minutes from Clark Summit or 7 minutes to Scranton. It has a large living room with French doors, an updated kitchen with stainless steel appliances and a tile floor. There's a covered deck, a large level yard with a large storage shed. The master bedroom and 2 bedrooms are on the main floor, but the walkout lower level could also be an in-law suite because it's got its own entrance. So there's a lot of possibilities here. It also has very low taxes and a fireplace. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bath home at 20 Sunset Drive in Scott Township for $229,000. And that's listed by Andrew Planey and Megan Pazamato of our office.
We're going to a quick break now, but we promise we'll be right back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker.
Mom, can I please go down the street to say goodbye to Bobby before he moves?
Son, I can't even get up these steps. I need to sell this house.
Hon, I know things are tight, but I think we need a bigger house.
Does this sound familiar? Life constantly changes, and so can your living situation. The home that was the perfect fit for you years ago just doesn't work anymore. The award-winning professionals at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate have helped many people just like you throughout northeastern Pennsylvania for almost a half century. With their extensive knowledge of the market and how to sell and buy a home, the dedicated team of realtors at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate have successfully assisted and guided people into a new chapter in their lives. Let us help you. Visit jruddy.com. That's JRUDDY.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Zavanni, my husband, fellow realtor.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good. I have a question.
I know you do, but before your question, I would like to reintroduce Bob Mendola, owner of Mendola & Associates Professional Surveyors. Hello.
Good morning again.
Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you as well.
Okay, you're here. Today we're talking about floodplain surveys and elevation certificates, and Pat has a question.
Yes, I asked you during the break, how far above that, it's 100, what they're looking for, the FEMA is looking, they have a level of where.
FEMA, not femur.
That's what I said.
FEMA.
F-E-M-A.
No, see, he adds an R to everything. That's that New York thing.
No, I came up here to get away from those New Yorkers.
It's not FEMA. It's FEMA. Pizza. Vanilla.
You should hear my son. He makes fun of me all the time. He can talk like he's from Brooklyn, too. But all right, can we move along here, please?
You have to start. You have to start pronouncing things.
I feel as if I'm losing my accent.
Okay, yeah, right.
That's
funny. Keep telling yourself that.
But anyway,
okay, excuse me. Sorry about that.
FEMA has the mark of where a 100-year flood is, correct?
That's correct.
How far above that mark does a house have to be out of the floodplain?
A very good question, and the answer is 18 inches, a foot and a half, or 18 inches, and that's primarily for new construction of building a home. An as-built condition where you have a house already, that's a little different story. But, yes, it has to be 18 inches out the
all right, so all of the existing structures, does the first floor have to be 18 inches above that mark, or what about the basement?
Very good. Another good question. And that is, the answer is, if the first floor is out of the floodplain, which is good because that's where you mostly live, and you have all your appliances, et cetera, in that level. But if you're in the basement's in the lower level, of course, if that's below the floodplain, then that's prone to flooding. You would probably get partial relief for your flood insurance that you would have to pay for that. You wouldn't have to pay a total amount because the first floor is out of the floodplain.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of variations there because a lot of times you have unfinished basements, but your mechanical systems are there.
Right.
Okay, so your water heater, your furnace,
heater,
your electrical
panel,
everything,
yeah,
right? Okay, but in the instance where you have a finished basement in addition to your mechanical systems, I think that would be a little different, too.
Well, so. Sure. And that's why, Jackie, in new construction, they put what you normally would put in a basement, the electrical, the heating system, they put these things on the second floor.
Yes.
For new construction.
Correct.
Right,
and
right.
They're protected. And that gives a total relief by the insurance for how much you're going to pay.
That's exactly what they did with the house we have down in the Rockaways. All the mechanicals were in the basement. They moved the boiler to the first floor. They moved the hot water heater. They moved the electrical panel. Everything is actually in this new room that's in the kitchen. So you hear everything when it goes on, but at least it's not in the basement anymore.
Exactly right, Pat.
Okay, so we have all this sophisticated technology to determine whether there's property that's in a floodplain or not. You have some really neat tools and gadgets, and then FEMA comes in and they have their maps and they are coded A, double A, B, C. Okay, so we have all of this, but a lot of times, you know, we like to think as humans, black or white, white or black, right? But Mother Nature sometimes is really, really cruel to us.
Sure.
And has other notions.
That's correct, Jackie.
All right. So.
Well, and that, as we said earlier, the real principle for approaching the floodplain topic and the situation of people living in floodplains, most cases, you have existing homes We call it as-built condition. And as I said earlier with Pat, depending on circumstances, what the 100-year floodplain elevation is, where the first floor elevation is, where the basement elevation is, floor elevation, and any of the elevations on the outside perimeter of the house, both the highest level and lowest level elevation with respect to your 100-year floodplain are very, very important for how much relief you'll get from in the flood insurance, if at all any, based on these circumstances.
So it's hard to predict some things, but you know, based on the data that you have and the research you do and your professional opinion and all your nifty tools, you can pretty much figure out if it's needed or not.
That's correct.
Okay. So how does someone get in touch with you, Bob, please? Bob
okay.
Mendola, Mendola & Associates Professional Surveyors, based out of Dunmore, but you cover tri-state area.
Thank you for that. We, of course, we're located at 1109 Taylor Avenue in Dunmore. Of course, the zip code is 18510. But you can get us online with our latest technology and computers. People will go online and look up surveyors or land surveyors, whatever form you want to type in, and we will probably pop up one, two, or three on that listing. Or you could Google us on Google, or you can go on our website, MendolaSurveys.com, or on email, which is Matt@MendolaSurveys.com.
And your phone number.
Phone number is, again, 570-346-8249.
You are a professional land surveyor. You do all types of surveys. Today we talked about floodplain surveys, but just generally you cover anything. Residential, commercial, anything.
Anything to do with land surveying in the states that we're licensed in, we can do.
New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania.
That, all three states, that is correct.
Thank you, Bob, for your time. Would you come back next week so we could talk about surveys, more about surveys?
I would love to. Thank you so much.
Okay, Pat?
Yes, we have a gorgeous three-bedroom, two-bath remodeled home at 41 Canaan Street in Carbondale for $115,000. This is a lovely Cape Cod-style home. It was renovated from top to bottom in 2007. This home has low taxes of only $1,500 a year. I wish my taxes were $1,500 a year. Off-street parking, great outdoor space, and a fenced-in yard. There's literally nothing to do on this house but just take your stuff and move in. That's a remodeled three-bedroom, two-bath Cape Cod-style home at 41 Canaan Street in Carbondale for $115,000, and that's listed by Joanna Paderka of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Profits from house flipping continue to decline, and this is from Realty Digest National News. Investors have increased home flipping activities, but they're seeing thinner margins and lower profits in return.
Well, there's less homes for sale, right?
Aha. Did you read my article?
I read your article.
That's the second time this show you stole my thunder. Not that I'm keeping track.
No.
Okay.
I would never do that.
But it is the lowest reported average gross flipping return on investment since mid-2015. It's down 48.7% return on investment in the second quarter and down 51.2% return on investment in the third quarter of 2017. Higher home prices, increased renovation costs, and a lower supply of distressed properties are making it increasingly expensive
but
to get started.
These are all good things, though.
See, there's a demand for ready-to-move-in homes. You know who's demanding them? Our favorite group. You got
millennials.
It, DC.
DC's over there, millennials.
DC's right. The millennials want turnkey. They want everything done.
Yeah,
so there's your demand.
They want you to come in and clean, too.
There are more investors flipping homes, and each investor is flipping fewer. Interesting information, isn't it? Okay. We have to say goodbye. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker.